From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this Monday edition of Washington Watch. Coming up 2 years and nearly $30 million later, there is no collusion. That, according to independent counsel Robert Mueller. The investigation into President Trump ended Friday without any public charges of a criminal conspiracy by the president or anyone associated with him. But is the political circus over? I'll ask Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert, a member of the House Judiciary Committee, which was informed of the report's findings by Attorney General Barr over the weekend. What helps and what hinders the spiritual development of children? That was the subject of a recent study by the Barna Group. Brooke Hempel, Senior Vice President of Research at Barna, joins me to look at the study and what churches can do to aid parents in the spiritual formation of their children. And I'll talk with actress Ashley Brasher, who played the role of Abby Johnson in the new movie Unplanned, which comes out this Friday. Unplanned tells the true story of how Planned Parenthood director Abby Johnson became a pro-life advocate after seeing an ultrasound-guided abortion. Amazingly, Ashley's own mother almost aborted her. She'll tell us the story and the status of the movie that's coming out this Friday later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. From the day President Trump was elected, Democrats embarked on a nonstop campaign to remove him from office. They decided he must go, but what was missing was a valid reason and evidence. Then Robert Mueller was appointed as special counsel to investigate the Trump campaign, and Trump's foes believed they had their golden ticket, end quote. Well, those were the words of Bradley Blakeman in his opinion piece at thehill.com. Now, joining me now to talk about the release of the Mueller report and where it may go from here is the Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert, a good friend of the program, good friend of mine. He represents the 1st Congressional District of the Lone Star State, and he also serves on the House Judiciary Committee. Louie, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, my brother. Always good to talk to you.
Well,
and especially today.
Yeah, and I would say probably no surprises for you in the outcome of this study.
I doubt there were any surprises for you. You and I have talked privately and publicly both. But I wasn't surprised, and that includes I was not surprised by Mueller's backhanded slap, you know, after 2 years. And some people around here at the House were saying that they thought it was going to end up being around $40 million by the time the bills came in. But there was no Russian collusion. Although, got to admit, Russia, Putin in particular, achieved his goal. His goal was to divide America.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they'd help Clinton. Sometimes they might do things to help Trump. Their goal was to divide America. That worked because the Democrats, especially the people at the top, were willing sycophants to just follow along any crumbs that Putin threw out that they might follow. And I didn't originally understand that Christopher Steele had not been to Russia in years. He was doing this supposed research by phone. So he didn't even know for sure who he was dealing with. And that's why he had to say himself under oath he really couldn't, you know, corroborate or vouch for the credibility of the sources. So those very well could have been the people Putin put up to help divide America, but they jumped into it. There was no collusion. There was no conspiracy with anybody in the Trump campaign or Trump administration. So none of that was a surprise. But then Mueller couldn't stop. Now, I've been a prosecutor and as a judge, as you know, and the job of a prosecutor is if you have information about a crime, you investigate thoroughly, and if you find sufficient evidence to believe that a crime was probably committed and this is the person that probably committed it, then you have probable cause. That's a shorthand rendition, and you get an indictment from a jury if you have that probable cause. your job is not to exonerate anybody as a prosecutor. You're to investigate, and if you don't have probable cause, you walk away. He couldn't walk away without saying, hey, this doesn't exonerate him. You got to understand that. Well, yeah, we understood that. You hated the man when he refused to hire you as the FBI director for a second time. And 24 hours or so later, you're asked to investigate the guy you're mad at because he wouldn't hire you as director of the FBI.
You go back. I think the closest we come to conspiracy in this would be between the Russians and the Democrats.
Yep.
Now, in order to get a conspiracy, though, you have to have intentionality. You know that as a judge,
yep,
as a prosecutor. and there probably was no intentionality. It was just the fact that they hate America and Donald Trump, not that they were
right,
trying to collude or conspire with the Russians outright. But that's probably the closest we come to conspiracy. Now, I mean, clearly, Louis.
Well, I don't know about that, because you did have Rosenstein and Mueller as head of the FBI, Rosenstein as U.S. attorney. Weissman was working on the case. They were investigating Russia's illegal effort to obtain American uranium, and they actually forced their insider that was providing them information into non-disclosure, and they kept it quiet so that the sale could go through and Hillary could end up getting $145 million for the Clinton Foundation. So there is that, too.
So then should the Department of Justice pick up on that and go forward, looking at whether or not the conspiracy was between the Russians and the Democrats to divide America?
No, I don't think you have to look at it as investigation of the Democratic Party, but it does bear investigating into Mueller and Rosenstein and Weissman and what role they had in keeping that information quiet so that the sale could go through of over 20% of American uranium to Russia. That could be treasonous. And that's not for politics. That's for self-preservation as a nation. But one of the things that I'm, I get crossways with Lindsey Graham sometimes, but he's been spot on with regard to what needs to be investigated. And you and I have talked about it, but as a former judge, the thing that irritates me so much is that you had FISA judges who had FBI agents and DOJ personnel come before them and swear to things that were not true, and swear to things they knew were not true, all in order to commit this fraud upon the court and get the FISA warrant so that they could go after the Trump campaign. And a judge, you don't even have to be a federal judge. I was speaking to a group in Jacksonville, Texas this weekend and talking to a justice of the peace. The justice of the peace would have been outraged and put somebody in jail for coming in and lying the way that these top FBI and DOJ officials did in order to get four different warrants. Somebody needs to go to jail. And the fact that no FISA judge has come out just livid and putting lawyers in jail tells me we have got to rework the FISA courts,
yeah,
if not get rid of them altogether.
Yeah,
they
can't be trusted.
Can't be trusted.
That should be certainly one takeaway from all of this. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Louis Gohmert, congressman from the 1st District of Texas, my guest, a member of the House Judiciary Committee, which received information from the Attorney General over the weekend regarding the Mueller report. Now, let me ask you this, Louis. The Democrats clearly were banking on this investigation to provide all the ammunition they needed to initiate impeachment proceedings.
Yep.
Where do they go now? There's nothing there.
Well, there isn't anything there, but they're still saying, we don't care if there's nothing there. We're still going to go there anyway. But one of the things we are going to take up, and I'm very pleased about this, is in judiciary tomorrow, we're going to request any documents, any transcripts, any tape recordings regarding conversations between Rod Rosenstein, Andrew McCabe, or any other conversations they had regarding Rosenstein's willingness to wear a wire to wiretap the president. That is serious stuff. And I wasn't sure that Rosenstein, when that first came up, wasn't going to try to deny it because it was so serious. As you recall, he admitted he said it, but he said he was only kidding. Well, that was a shock to McCabe. And I'd heard before McCabe came out with it that he didn't say it just once. He said it a second time. And my understanding of the context from people that I feel like were trustworthy were saying that McCabe and others were blasting Rosenstein because he did the memo that justified Trump firing Comey. And he said, whose team are you on? You're on the other team. You're helping Trump. And he was going, no, I'm on your team. I want to take Trump out. I want to help you guys. And no, you did the memo. You gutted Comey. We needed Comey on board. That kind of stuff going on. And that's when Rosenstein supposedly said, hey, look, I am very serious about being on the same team with you. I would even be willing to wear a wire and wiretap the president. And he didn't just bring it up once. He brought it up in another meeting with McCabe and one other person that, and by the way, I really was serious. I am on the team with you guys. I'm willing to wear a wire. And McCabe called a meeting of his deputies right after he met with Rosenstein and said, you won't believe, Rosenstein's still bringing up that he's willing to wear a wire. So it sounded to me like, from my sources, that it was very serious and that it was all born out of his embarrassment at helping Trump by giving a memo that justified firing Comey.
Now, I quoted from Bradley Blakeman, who was writing in The Hill this morning regarding this. He wrote this. He said, referring to the Democrats, he said this newfound majority in the House will be fleeting if they continue to harass and obstruct. He said that their visceral hate for the president has clouded their judgment and hijacked their party. True?
It is. It has. And they have spent so much time that they have maybe now they can actually go to the border and see for themselves. There is a national emergency on our border, and it is getting worse every day. And they have neglected that because they were just so heck-bent on taking Trump down and thought they had a way to do it.
Well, I'm sure that this will not be the end of their circus. They've got another act coming.
Sad part, Tony, is Russia got what they wanted. The Democrats helped them divide America. That's all they wanted.
Yep, there's our conspiracy. Louis Gohmert, as always,
thanks,
great
Tony.
To talk with you. Thanks for being
great
with us.
Great to talk to you, friend.
Congressman Louis Gohmert of Texas. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, coming up next, the Barna Group has done a new study, research, documenting that a majority of Protestant pastors and half of Catholic priests believe school is a negative influence on a child's spiritual development. But what are they doing to help equip the parents in the discipleship of their children? We'll talk about that next with Brooke Hempel, Senior Vice President of Research at the Barna Group. You won't want to miss this conversation. That's coming up next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. A lot more to come.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, a majority of Protestant pastors and half of Catholic priests believe school is a negative influence on a child's spiritual development. Now, that according to a new report by the Barna Group. I find this this report, I like the stuff that Barna puts out. I like to dig into it because it's quantitative. You can actually, these are not opinions. They survey and they get a broad view. And you can then use that to kind of figure out what's going on and where we need to go, specifically in this conversation about children and their spiritual development. Now, Barna partnered with a religious think tank named Cartus to interview 650 Protestant and Catholic Church leaders last year about the spiritual development among young people. And my guest now is the Senior Vice President of Research for the Barna Group, Brooke Himpel. Brooke, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
Brooke, let's start with the kind of the genesis for this study. What were you looking for as you looked into the spiritual development of children, the formation, and what the religious leaders were thinking about it?
Sure. Well, we've been doing a number of studies on spiritual formation and kind of how kids grow in their faith. And this was one particular angle where we wanted to understand the role of schools because it just seems natural that, you know, kids spend the majority of their waking hours in a school context. And the counterbalance of the time that they spend in the church setting is remarkably imbalanced. And so we were trying to understand, you know, what do pastors think about that and how do they consider the nature of their recommendations to parents, many of whom are really wrestling with, well, where do I need to be educating my child, knowing that, you know, I'm wanting them to grow into a faith. And so how do I think about that decision? And so we thought, well, let's start with pastors, because we know from a lot of our research that church attenders have an incredibly high trust of their pastors' opinions and inputs. And so our expectation was that they would be able to get some answers from those church leaders.
Now, the church leaders, you asked them basically to report on or give their opinions on what was positive, what was the most positive influence on the formation of children. Really no surprises there. They said that parents, followed by the church, two most positive influences on the formation of the spiritual foundation of a child.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we expected to see that. We know that actually most of the formation of kids happens in the home, and so parents are a critical part of that. But the church obviously has an explicit role, right, to develop their faith. But we also know that, again, the hours that they spend at school or with peers and friends compared to the hours that they spend even with their family on a regular weekly basis is still imbalanced.
Right.
So we did find that people are expecting that parents have a responsibility to develop their child, and then the church follows in terms of spiritual development. We didn't know what comes next, and that was part of the reason for our survey.
Now, I'm going to kind of save the big one for last, because I want to talk about the education aspect. But before we get to that, one of the other positive influencing factors that the spiritual leaders saw was the Christian community. Now, that's not the church, that's outside the church. Explain exactly what that is made up of.
Sure. We didn't give them a hard and fast definition. We just said, kind of in order, you know, your parents and family, the church, and then the Christian community outside of church, right? So one of the reasons for asking that is that we know there are a lot of relationships that people have that are not formally part of their church, but are Christian friends. They might be friends that they have in their neighborhood. They might be friends they've met through playground groups. They might be people that they actually are in a Bible study or a small group with who are not actually part of their church. And they kind of do life with those people. So the order in which we asked this question was really bent around, like, who's your closest influencer in your life or in your children's lives? And so the expectation is they are defining that as those other relationships, mostly friendships, who are Christian friends who really kind of support and encourage people through their lives, especially through growing their kids.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a really important part of the Christian community, because that is community. I mean, that's where we spend a lot of our time. That's the influence. That's the encouragement. And, mm-hmm. you know, not to get off into this, but in this world of social media and virtual friends, that's something that is being lost, is that community that is real, it's supportive, it's tangible, it's not just something online, which more and more we're seeing in our culture today.
Correct. And especially when you think about raising children, those communities are incredibly formative because they don't just shape the children, they shape the parents who are then shaping the children. And so we know there's a big influence there in how a child grows in their faith.
All right, Brooke, we're gonna dive into this on the education. Both the Protestant and the Catholic church leaders saw education as a predominantly negative influence on the spiritual formation of the child. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm. So they don't believe that schools are necessarily responsible for spiritual formation, but they do know they have an impact or an influence. And so that's what we were looking at in this case, knowing that they are shaping your child in some way. How is that
happening? I don't want to interrupt you, but is it more of a negative from a standpoint of, it's not that we expect them to provide the spiritual formation, but they're running counter to what the spiritual leaders and their parents are often trying to instill in them.
That's right. It's the latter. And it's because, what they are teaching in schools is really known not to be in line with spiritual formation.
All right, Brooke, I'm gonna stop you right there, because we're going to come back on the other side of the break and go deeper into this, because it was something very fascinating in this research for me, is that the parents are looking for something and they're not finding it. And this is an opportunity for spiritual leaders, for churches in particular. Brooke Hempel, my guest from Barna Group, we're going to continue our conversation on the spiritual formation in children. That's next. Don't go away.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage of peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. Wittonian leaders on the Hill and other culture influencers weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And by the way, I would encourage you to go to the links on the website, and you can look at this, a link to the recent research done by Barna Group on this issue of a child's spiritual development and what religious leaders see as the problem, but also what parents are looking for. Brooke Hempel, my guest, Senior Vice President of Research for the Barna Group. Okay, at the break, Brooke, we were talking about the schools kind of being, not that parents or Christian leaders are looking for the church, or the school to be the formulator of a spiritual foundation, but it's working at counter purposes to what they're doing and what parents are doing. And they see this, but what are they doing about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a big question for a lot of parents is, you know, where do I send my kids? And I do have to preface this question about a positive and negative influence by we're assuming, especially for the Protestant church leaders we spoke with, that they're thinking of public schools because the majority of students still do go to public schools. So they likely have that in their mind. Whereas we see a little softer response amongst Catholic priests because a lot of them, their parish model would have their constituents going to Catholic school. So that's a more positive influence. But when we do see the negative, we're thinking public schools and we're thinking in places where there is a real clarity in schools about separation of church and state. And what that has meant is that often what parents are experiencing their children learning in public school context is something that either runs counter to or is absent of any sort of kind of guidance on spiritual matters. And most commonly this comes up with science, right? There are certain places where the teaching is very clearly focused on more of a secular worldview, and then parents see that and say, okay, my kids are going to learn something that's different than what they would be learning in a church setting. And so pastors and church leaders know that even more to be the case. And they see the impacts of some of the young adults and youth in their churches who are wrestling with questions of science. We've seen this in a number of our studies. And so we know that that's something that they're having to try to kind of help kids work through when they are coming to church. Is, all right, I've learned this in a school environment. Now what do I do with this when I go to church?
Right. And the church leaders think that they're addressing this with Sunday school classes for the youth and to a lesser degree, vacation Bible school. But parents are saying, not quite. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm wanting more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think the tools that the churches have available to them are the tools that you've mentioned. Those are the typical programs and opportunities through which they have the chance to intersect with kids or their parents. The parents often are really looking for a lot more involved guidance, and that's come from this study and from other studies that really parents are looking for, train me to be the parent in this context, right? The world is changing rapidly, and I'm having to answer the difficult questions about evidence for scriptures and about the reasons for faith. And parents aren't always equipped to have those conversations. That's something that they need help with as well.
So what the parents are actually asking is, you know, look, we're grateful for a Sunday school, but that's 1 hour out of the week. Mm-hmm. We would like you to teach us to be more of the spiritual guide for our children and help develop that that spiritual foundation for them. In essence, it is teaching the saints to do the work of the ministry is actually what parents are talking about when it comes to the children in the home, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, we have two other studies where we've been looking at that, and that's exactly what comes up, is that just given the fast-changing nature of the world around us, parents are really hungry for equipping, and they know it's got to be something different than what they learned when they were growing up, right? Because we're just operating in a different context now. And so the questions that their kids have are really different than the questions that they had at the same age.
Brooke, did you run across any, I know this was a survey, so it may not have come up in the survey, but have you found any institution, church out there that's actually doing that in a right way that's meeting the needs of parents?
Not so much specific churches, but there are more and more kind of curriculum developers who deal with children's curriculum for churches and for other settings. That are really digging in to tough questions. So we did a study a couple years ago on Gen Z. One of our partners was Impact 360, and they have a worldview kind of institute where they do programs to help kids dig really deeply into these sorts of questions. That's for older kids. And then there's a number of partners that we've been able to work with that are working on curriculum at the more elementary age, helping parents and educators and ministries know, okay, how do I speak to kids in their language in a way that's engaging, mm-hmm. and help them to be more equipped and informed?
Well, I think this is fascinating, and I'm hoping that pastors and priests, spiritual leaders that are listening to this will actually hear this quantitative voice of the parents asking for more. Brooke, thanks so much for joining us, and again, appreciate the work here that Barna Group is doing.
Thank you so much.
All right, Brooke Hempel with the Barna Group. Find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, I'm going to have a question for you related to this, an online poll. It'd be interesting to see the results, so I'm going to give it to you on the other side of the break. Don't go away. That and the movie Unplanned comes out this Friday. We'll have the star of that movie coming up next. Don't go away.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachman. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. In just a few minutes, Ashley Brasher, who is the plays the lead role in the new movie Unplanned, which comes out this Friday. That's the movie of really tells the story of Planned Parenthood director Abby Johnson. She was the director of the College Station, Texas Planned Parenthood Center. And through a series of events, you see it in the movie, she became a pro-life advocate after she saw an ultrasound-guided abortion. So Ashley's going to join us in just a minute. She's got a story to tell herself. And also, I want to talk about the rating that the movie has drawn. I've seen the movie, all right, and many people are being scared away because it's an R-rating. We're going to talk about that. But first, I'm going to go back to what we were just talking about with Brooke from Barna Group discussing the issue of the spiritual formation of children, what spiritual leaders, pastors, priests see as the problem. They see family as being number one and responsible, being in the positive aspects of spiritual formation. That's number one area of responsibilities in the home, second the church and the Christian community. But one of the things they both pointed to in terms of the negative influences of education, public education. Now, but what's interesting here is what the churches are a little bit timid. Pastors are timid to talk about education because they don't want to offend anybody when it comes to school choice about whether or not you should homeschool your kids or whether you should put them in a Christian school or whether they should be in public school. Because people don't always have the resources. You don't have the resources to send them to a public, a private school. They may not have the flexibility to homeschool. You know, but parents are saying, tell me, talk to me, speak to me, show me, what is my responsibility? Well, you've heard me talk about it many times. And that is that God gave children to parents. He didn't give them to the local school. And we have both the authority and the responsibility to teach our children in the way that they should go. Now, we can delegate the authority. You can send them to a private school. You can send them to a public school. But you cannot delegate the responsibility. That will always be yours. And parents are saying, look, in this age where we're finding in the public square, in the public schools, in the government schools, they are hostile to the very faith that I'm trying to instill in my children. What do I do? That's literally what parents are asking. So pastors, you need to preach to this. You need to go beyond the preaching. And parents are asking for the training. Will you help us? Help me train my children. It's not just enough to do baby dedication and then send them on their way with a little pocket-sized Bible. You need to teach them to be parents. And look at this. Consider this. We have now parents raising children whose parents didn't really raise them. They don't have a clue. And the more your church is engaged in evangelism, which I hope it is, you're going to be bringing people in that are coming from unchurched backgrounds and are not going to have any idea about instilling a spiritual foundation for their children. So parents are saying, help, help, help. So here's the question. Here's the poll question. And you can text your response. The number is 41444. Text Perkins to 41444. And then you'll get a response back with the poll question. Here's the question. Let us know if you would like to see your church provide instruction to parents on how to guide the spiritual formation of their children. So just again, text Perkins to 41444. That's 41 three fours. Put Perkins in there, text it, and you will get a response back linking you to the survey. And let me know. Would you like to see your church provide instruction to parents on how to guide the spiritual formation of the children? I think this Barna survey is overwhelmingly saying yes. We need help. And this is as a church wants to be relevant, you need to meet a real need. And this is a real need of parents, especially young parents, trying to help their children out. And everybody's scratching their head. My kids go off to college and they lose their faith. No, they didn't really have it to begin with. Because all we do is one, and I'm using a very broad brush here as I paint the scene, but we have 1 hour a week as they're growing up in their formative years and we're telling them Bible stories. When we need to be teaching them biblical truths all the way through. Whatever we sow, we reap. And we cannot counteract what they're getting 5 days a week in these increasingly secular and I would say hostile to Christianity, these environments in our government schools, and expect 1 hour a week to counteract it. It takes more than that. So anyway, let me know what you think about the poll. Give me your answer. Would you like to see your church provide instruction to parents on how to guide the spiritual formation of their children? Go text Perkins to 41444, and I'll provide the outcome tomorrow. All right. Coming up this Friday, you've probably heard about this, the movie Unplanned. Now, this is the story, as I mentioned earlier, of Abby Johnson, who's actually been on the program. And I know Abby. I've had her at some FRC events. She was a Planned Parenthood director of the clinic in College Station, Texas. And she became a pro-life advocate after seeing an ultrasound-guided abortion. Now, a couple of things here is the young lady who plays her in the movie, Ashley Brasher, has a story of her own to tell. But also there's a concerted effort, and I've spoken out with some other Christian leaders about this, by slapping an R rating on this movie to try to keep people from seeing it. And I've heard this from pastors, I can't take people to an R-rated movie. Well, there's nothing R-rated in this. other than the fact that abortion is violent, which is an admission, I think, on behalf of Hollywood. But anyway, we'll talk about that. But Ashley joins us now. Ashley, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey there. Thank you for having me.
Well, Ashley, so you're pretty excited about the movie coming out this Friday?
I am ecstatic. This has been almost a year of my life in the making, and I could not be more happy about the wide release on Friday.
Well, I saw the movie probably about a month ago. We screened it at the Council for National Policy to about 300 leaders. Riveting movie, a compelling story. You could do a great job in the movie. But before I get into the movie, you've got a story that you've told about this and how you yourself were almost the victim of abortion.
Yeah. So when I was first offered the role, I had about 5 hours notice to prepare and get on a plane to spend about 7 weeks in Oklahoma. I didn't have a lot of time to decide. I said yes without hesitation because I had prayed about it for a long time. And when I hit the ground in Oklahoma, it was nonstop. I was in production meetings the entire time I was there, and I didn't have time to really let anyone know what I was doing. My mom called me on the fourth day of production, and when she did, I was very hesitant to tell her the story because she had shared with me when she was in high school she'd had an abortion. So I didn't want her to think that I was judging her or that I loved her any less or that this was a movie about condemnation and judgment, because it's not. You've seen it. It's about grace and forgiveness. So as I started explaining Abby's testimony to her, she became very emotional, and she kind of broke down on the phone. She said, "Ashley, I need to tell you something that I've never told you before." She said to me that when she was 19, she was in the abortion clinic for the second time. Her name had been called, and she was being examined by a very pregnant nurse. She was on the table. She got very sick to her stomach and decided that she couldn't go through with it. She got up and walked out and chose to have me. I had no idea. My entire life, I had no idea that my life had been spared. So when I stepped into this role, I didn't really have a platform. It wasn't a topic I had talked about a lot. And here I was, never knowing that I had my own story. And that was a pretty profound moment for me, because it confirmed in my heart that God had really planned my steps from conception.
So how did that impact your role as you played this, really the lead role in the movie Unplanned, playing the role of Abby Johnson?
Honestly, I didn't really have a lot of time to process it. I remember getting off the phone with my mom and saying, I need to call you back, Mom. I just need time to think about this. And because everything was happening so fast, I was going into filming in 2 days. I just had to kind of, as much as I could, take some time to put it away for a minute, to really focus on getting prepared for the film. And after a couple of days, when I had finally caught my breath, I sat down and I thought about it, and it was just so overwhelming. It really gave me a personal conviction to make sure that I was doing this not only to the best of my ability, but that I was honoring God every step of the way, because I felt like He had really chosen me to tell this story.
Wow. Well, you do it quite well. As I said, I've seen the
Thank
movie.
You.
Well, Ashley, let me ask you this before I get into the rating, which I think is designed to discourage people from seeing it. But I want to ask you this. What, as you went through this process, playing this key role, and you've seen a lot of the things over the last year, has anything occurred around this whole issue of abortion that has surprised you, that's like, wow, I never knew this?
Well, I mean, from the very beginning, as soon as I auditioned and I heard Abby's testimony, I had no idea. I think, like the general public, I had no idea what the actual procedure entails. And when I heard that, I thought, wow, the blinders just fell off, and I had been so blind. I think that's what's going to happen for a lot of people, because for the first time, we're putting a face to the victim. This has been a silent Holocaust that's happening. So this is really going to shake people to the core, and they're going to have to come face to face with what's happening. That was probably the most shocking thing for me. And then learning the corruption of Planned Parenthood, just abortion quotas and the money trail. It's been a pretty disgusting thing that I've learned throughout this process.
Has the spiritual warfare surrounding this whole issue of abortion, have you found that surprising?
No, not really, because I think that, I mean, I had this conversation with Abby, just, you know, how can these women think that they're serving God? Because, I mean, there were women that she worked with that thought they were doing God's work and that they were doing the best thing they could for women. But it was just really a lack of spiritual maturity, in my opinion. And also, you become so callous. I think she mentioned that women's and men's hearts had become so hardened in working there. Mm-hmm. It was something that they saw every day. And I think that that is something that obviously pulls you away from Christ. And any time that you're being pulled away in the opposite direction, it's harder and harder and harder to hear his voice and to feel his presence. So in my opinion, there's a lot of hardened hearts in the industry.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, talking to Ashley Brasher. She is the plays the lead role in the movie Unplanned, which comes out this Friday night. She plays the role of Abby Johnson, the Planned Parenthood director. Ashley, you were talking about this. You know, this will basically just shake people's world because they'll, for the first time, see the truth of what's behind abortion, what's behind Planned Parenthood. Is that part of the reason you think maybe the R rating was slapped on this? Because there's no sex, there's no drugs, there's no foul language. The only thing is the kind of a, I would say, a peripheral view of an abortion. You look at the equipment, and it does show how, traumatic and evil abortion is. But that's the extent of it.
Yeah, you know, I think that the rating is appropriate because abortion is a very disturbing thing. I do think that parents need to have a very serious conversation with their children before they take them to the film, and that is why the film is rated R, because even as an adult, it's a very difficult thing to watch. What I really have more of a problem with is the law that allows young girls 13, 15 years old to go and have an abortion without parental consent, but doesn't allow them to see a movie about one. To me, that is not informed decision making. That is a lie that Planned Parenthood perpetuates, and they assist young girls. They tell them where to go to get abortions without their parents' permission. I think that the R rating is really kind of working in our favor because it's drawing more attention to the film, and it also requires parents and leaders in the church to take a stand and to say our youth needs to see this.
Ashley, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us, and we hope the movie does very well this coming weekend.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, folks, check it out. Go to TonyPerkins.com, and we'll talk more about this week because I want to unpack what Ashley had to say. So it was very, very good. All right, until next time, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, you've done everything you could do. Pray, you've prepared and taken your stand. You got it. Keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.